Today's shir is Masecht Zvachim Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah New Perek Beis Rashem Beis B'Shamay Omrim. The primary subject that we're going to be discussing in this Mishnah in the Perek is the halacha. We've learned many times that Tzrikas Adam is such a fundamental aspect, such a fundamental part of the Hakrovas Karban, and exactly how, when, where, what the Tzrikas Adam is done. Actually, as sort of Mefarshim point out, that this Mishnah and this Sugya should have been part of the next Perek, because the next Perek, we know the famous Perek of Ezra Mekayman, many people say it every day, that speaks about the Kabbonis, and the Hazor is part of the Karban. The Mefarshim explained the reason it was separated out into a separate Perek, because as we know, one of the reasons indeed that we say Perek Ezra Mekayman every day, because we're going to say a Perek a Mishnayis, we're going to say one where there's no machlaikis. And our Mishnah, and there's a very serious machlaikis, so we're separated out that we can keep Ezer Mekayman machlaikis free. Also, what becomes very important in learning our Perek, issue that we've discussed previously, is that we know there were two Mizbeiches. There was Mizbeich Achitzen, where most Kabbonis were brought, and Mizbeich Apinimi were also Kabbonis, and actually later in the Perek we'll be discussing those Kabbonis quite extensively were brought. There are many different names for the different Mizbeiches. Mizbeich HaChitzen is known as the Mizbeich HaNechoshes because it was made out of copper. The Mizbeich HaPnimi is known as Mizbeich HaZov. The Mizbeich HaPnimi is known as Mizbeich HaKtoiris because that's where the daily Ktoiris was brought. Mizbeich HaChitzen is also known as Mizbeich HaTomid because the Karmen Tomid, Mizbeich HaOyla, was brought every day. But as far as our Mishnah is concerned, the Mizbeich is called Mizbeich HaChitzen and Mizbeich HaPnimi. And the reason this Mishnah chose those names for these Mizbeiches versus all the other names that the Mizbeiches have is because there are different rules of a Hazor that's done with Pnimi inside the Beis HaMikdash versus Hazor that's done with Chitzen outside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, as far as the subject of our Perek, Chitzen and Pnimi are most appropriate. So says the Mishnah, B'Shamay Omrim Kol HaNitonim Mizbeich HaChitzen. Any dam that's put in Mizbeich HaChitzen, that means most kabbonis, the halacha is, what the Torah tells us to do is to do shtayim shein arba, to do a zrika on two diagonally opposite corners, but that the blood should spread into the corners. If you only did one instead of two, teaches us Beis Shammai that he is in agreement on this halacha, keeper, that you have a kapara, or bechatas, where again, to understand what does the Torah want us to do. What the Torah wants us to do is to take the blood with his finger out of the klisharis where he has the dam, and actually apply to the corners with his finger. Says Beis Shammai, even though the Torah requires that it should be done four matanas, bechatas, Beis Shammai says, she matanas, two matanas will be enough. Beis Hillel Omer, Beis Hillel disagree. Af chatas, they hold that even by karm chatas and nos the matana achas, always one matana is b'di'evid acceptable. Matana achas keeper. However, points out the Sfas Emes, that certainly even Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in their various cases will agree that if you did only one matana, you should do the rest if you can. If you didn't, it's fine, but not that that's what you should leave with. The only thing that I saw that Mefarshim asked, two questions. One question that I saw Mefarshim ask is as follows. We're learning now, the Sfas Emes, everybody says that if you could do it right, do it right. What does that mean? Does that mean that let's say you had dam in your klisharis, and you did only one matana. According to Beis Hillel, always one matana is enough. And you have no more blood, you spilled out all the blood. We'll speak about spilling the blood a lot soon. Doesn't mean that in order to do the rest of the matanas, you should go back to the neck of the animal, if you can, to get more blood. Or does it mean that if you still have dam in the keli, use it. But nobody's going to make you go back. One question. Then I saw a very interesting machlokes achronim. Let's say, to make the question easy, you have dam left in your keli. And you only did one matan out of the four of the karma chattas. So you have some dam left over, but you don't have enough dam to do all three matanas. should you do what you can? You could do one or two more, do as much as you can. Or are there two separate categories? There's the first matana, which affects the kapara, and the other three is a din, that's what the Torah wants us to do, but they should be viewed as one unit. And if you can't do all of them, doesn't make a difference. There's no point in doing any of them. Or you should do at least as much as you can. Machlokes achronim. Continues the Mishnah, going back to the subject that we discussed so extensively about pigel. Lefikach, im nosans rishonah ketikonah. According to myself, if you did the first matana properly, even if you had a machsheves chutz l'zmana bet shniya, vese shniya chutz l'zmana, keep her. Because the second matana really isn't essential for your kapara. Vim nosan, on the other hand, again, and this is all according to Beis Hillel, im nosan sushayna chutz l'zmana. If you did the first matana by the karmach chatas, or even by other kabbalas, with the proper machsheva, vese shniya chutz l'mekayma, and the second one chutz l'mekayma, and as we learned in the previous parak, also quite extensively, that if you have two machshavas, chutz l'zman and chutz mekamai, that prevents the karma from being pigel. But here, since the second machshava came during an avoided that we've now said is not essential, so here it turns out to be a chumrah, and the Gemara is going to make this point. And tomorrow shir, pigel v'chayav and levkars, you'll be chayav kars. This is all regarding kabbanis that are brought in the Mizbeach HaChitzin. But as I said in our introductory remarks, there are also kabbanis brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Typically, a kabban that's brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi fall into two general categories. The parma of Yom Kippur, which actually those kabbanis, the dam was taken into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, then the dam was sprinkled on the kapyrus, and that's unique to the parma of Yom Kippur. Then we have, that we learned in Masechta Horis together, the Parhelm Dovish Otzibur, the Parakoy Mashiach, that there the halachi is that the dam is sprinkled against, facing the Parochus, the curtain that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the meat of that carbon is burnt, Parham HaNesrafim. There, the dam is put on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and there, says the Mishnah, Kol HaNitanim Al Mizbeach HaPnimi, there, Shemchis Achz Menatanos Kilai Kippur. Here, all four corners are absolutely essential. Lefikach, so extrapolates the Mishnah, Nos Mekulam Kitikunam, if you did it properly, V'achash Lo Kitikunam, you did three properly, one not properly. So since, in order for it to be Chiya Pigel, it means, as we've learned so many times, you have had to do everything right. Here, if you missed one of Matana, that means you missed doing the carbon right. So even though you also had a Machshev, a Chutz L'Zmanoi, that prevents it from being pigel, and it'll only be psul vein by karis. Begins the Gemara by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Tana Abonim. Menayin, and then Tana Mizbech Achitzim. Where do we take this halacha that we began our Mishnah with? And that the halacha is that if you put a dam on the Mizbech Achitzim, that even though the Torah says you're supposed to do two or four, Shenostim of Tana Achas, that if you only did one Matana, Shekeeper, you will have the Kapara. Tama Loimer, the Pasuk says, the dam zvochech yishafech. The Ran asks a question that this pasuk is talking about kabbanis that are eaten. It's actually a pasuk by karmach chatas. How do we know that the same rule would apply by karban oila? That we know by karban oila none of the meat is eaten. So the Ran says a very big aside. The Ran says the burning of the meat on the mizbeach of the karban oila is the equivalent of people eating the meat of every other karban. And therefore they should not be treated differently. Also I saw Gevaldig Kasha from the Sfasemis. Sfasemis asks that we learned many times already the Shloik Kimakaimai Kimakaimai, that if somebody put the dam on the wrong place, the example that the Mishnah gave was you put the dam on the ramp, it's fine. So it's obvious if you put it in the wrong place, it's acceptable. Certainly if you put it in the right place, you just didn't put it on that much, certainly it should be fine. So why don't we learn it from the halacha of Shloim Kamekaimai, Kamekaimai? The Gemara doesn't even give that for a Havamina. Answer the Sfasemis. Even though we've learned, and Shmuel said it many times very clearly, the Shloim Kamekaimai, Kamekaimai, still the halacha is all that accomplishes is that there's a kapara. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Our Mishnah, when it teaches us that if you did one matana, not only do you have a kapara, but you're even allowed to eat the meat. That you can't learn from Shlomo Kamekaimai. That's why the Gemara brings the pasuk with Dam Zvachecha Yosh Yishafech. Ask the Gemara, Is that what's learned from this pasuk? How do we know that all kabbonis, the leftover dam, should be spilled on the base of the mizbeach? And here we have a very fundamental machloikus, Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says, what does this rule teach us? That if you have leftover blood, pour it on the yisoid. If you don't have, you don't have. Taisus says, no. You're supposed to leave over blood. You're supposed to make sure to have leftover blood in order to be able to do the din of Shvich Hashrayim liyisoid. And the way that Achroinim explain the Machloikus of Rashi and Taisus. Machloikus of Rashi and Taisus is based on what is the reason for this rule of Shiori Hadam poured on the Yisoid? Is it a din in Hilchas Dam, or is it a din in Hilchas Carbon? Rashi learns it's a din in Hilchas Dam. That if you have leftover blood, how do you discard it? Pour it on the Yisoid. If you don't have, you don't have. Taisus learns that it's a din in the Carbon. It's part of the procedure of what must be done with the Carbon. It's not an essential Avaida, but it's part of the way a Carbon should be brought, that you should have. Part of the avoid is that dam should be poured on the side, and therefore, according to Taisa, you're supposed to try to have dam left over in order to do this mitzvah. Interesting opinion of the Gra. The Gra says that even though we have this very fundamental machloikus Rashi in Taisa, the Gra says everybody will agree by karb mechatas, you're supposed to, even Rashi will agree, you're supposed to have dam, you're supposed to leave over dam. Why? Because he says the pasuk v'dam zvachecha yishafech, we're going to speak about this more in a second, is said by karb mechatas. So we see that Karb Mechatas, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us the din of Shiori Adam poured on the Yisoid, and that's why by Dam Chatas we should go out of our way to do this. So again, how can we say, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk with Adam Zvachach Yishafek has come to teach us, the Matana Achas is enough, don't we need it for this din? Answers the Gemara, this din of Shiori Adam, says the Gemara, he can learn from elsewhere. Nafkalei mid the Rebbe. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Vanisha Bedam Yimotzei, the pasuk is speaking here about a carbon that's brought from a bird, and the Torah says you should squeeze out the bird to extract all the blood. She'ain Tamaloyma Bedam. The Torah just should have said Vanisha Yimotzei. Ma Tamaloyma, why does the Torah add the word Bedam? Lefish Loy Lamadnu Elnu Tonim Matan Dalad. Since the Torah only taught us by carbon chatos, Shetunin, Matan Dam Yisoid, that the extra blood should be poured on the Yisoid. This is the basis for the Gra. Shad Dam Minayim. How do we know that this rule applies by all other Kabbonis as well? Tamaloymer, Venish Bedam Yimotse. Shein Tamaloym Bedam. The word Bedam is superfluous. Oma Tamaloym Bedam. Why does the Torah use that word? Limit Akala Damim Shetunim Matan Dam Yisoid. So what we're up to right now is we're fine. The halacha that the leftover blood is put on the aside, we learn from this pasuk vanish v'dam, and therefore the pasuk v'dam zvechech yishafech is available to teach us the halacha of our mishnah that one nesinas dam is fine. Ask the Gemara v'kati lachuda also, is that what we're going to learn from the pasuk v'dam zvechech yishafech? And by the way, don't we need it for l'chetanya minayin l'nitonim bezrikosh nitonim b'shvicha? As I alluded when we learned the Mishnah, there are really three ways of putting dam on the Mizbeach. One is by Karb Mechatas, unique to Karb Mechatas, where, as I said, you take your finger, the coin takes his finger, puts it into the dam, and dabs it on the corner. Only by Karb Mechatas. All other Kabbonis where the dam is not done that way, it's thrown at the Mizbeach, there are really two ways of doing it. The Zrika and Shvicha. What's the difference between Zrika and Shvicha? Zrika means to throw. Shvicha, throw from further away. Shvicha means from closer. The Achrayim explained that Shvicha means that you have to stand right by the wall of the Mizbeach and pour the dam down the wall. Zrika means you stand a little further away, you don't stand exactly by the wall, and that's how you throw the dam. So the Braisa says, there are certain times the Torah says you should do Zrika, and certain times the Torah says you should do Shvicha. How do we know, says the Braisa, that if you interchanged it, that you were yoytza, tamaloymer, v'davz v'chach yishafech. So you need the pasuk to teach us that even if the Torah tells you to do zvicha, shvicha you could do zvicha. Or if shvicha you could do zrika. So again, the pasuk isn't left over. answers the Gemara, Savala, the Tan of our Mishnah, that uses the pasuk v'dam zvachecha yishafech to teach us the halacha of matana achas is enough, holds like a Rekiva. Dama lo yizrika b'klal shvicha, v'lo yishvicha b'klal zrika. You can't interchange them. Where the Torah says shvicha, shvicha, where the Torah says zrika, zrika. The Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Pesuchim. We know, this is the way most Mepharshim, including the Tzlach, explain this Mishnah. We spoke about it recently, I think. On Erev Pesach, besides bringing the Karan Pesach, they also brought the Shalmei Chagiga. What was the main purpose of bringing the Shalmei Chagiga? Because you're supposed to eat the Karan Pesach ala soiva when you're satiated. There's a large group of people eating the Karan Pesach together. So everybody ate the Shalmei Chagiga that got them almost full. And right before they're completely full, that's when they eat at least the kazayis of the Karan Pesach. So we have these two kabbonis. There's the zavach, the carbon shlomim, the shalmei chagiga, and there's the karban pesach. There are other rishonim, just for the record, that say we're not talking about the shalmei chagiga. We're talking about a person who just brought the dorm from the davus on our pesach. He was in the base of mikdash anyway, and now he has that meat to eat at night. We're not going to learn with that pshat. So says the mishnah, birech birchas a pesach potter shal zavach, shal zavach le potter is a pesach, which means as follows. Few points. Number one, I don't know if we ever discussed this. Before somebody eats from a carbon, he has to make a bracha, besides the brichas hanenin, because it's a mitzvah to eat karbanos. So before you eat karban pesach, you make a bracha. Before you eat the karban shlamim, you make a bracha. Says the Tanna Kamma, says Rabbi Shmuel, that since a karban pesach, the Torah says you're supposed to do shvicha, and by karban shlamim, the Torah says you're supposed to do zrika. Says Rabbi Shmuel, since zrika is included in shvicha, so when you make the bracha on the Karban Pesach, you could patter with it the bracha on the Karban Shlomim. Because Rika, if you did Shvicha, it would be good. But vice versa, if you have to do Shvicha, you can't do Zrika. So you can't make a bracha on the Karban Shlomim and be mighty the bracha of Karban Pesach. Let's read the words. Birech berchas a Pesach, pata shal zevach. Shal zevach, but the bracha on the Shlomim, le pata is a Pesach. Why? Because if you have to do Zrika, you could do Shvicha. If you have to do shvicha, you can't do zrika. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So that's where he learns from the pasuk Gudav Zvachach Yishafech. Rekiva Ima, loy zu peter zu, v'loy peter zu. Why? Because he says the pasuk Gudav Zvachach Yishafech means that when zrika is required, when shvicha is required, shvicha is required. A number of very important issues to raise. Number one, if you will recall in a shir, I don't remember when, not long ago, I pointed out that in the Haggadah, by the Seder, there's a very interesting wording in the Seder. When we make the bracha, Asher Golanu, we say, Asher Yigi Adomim Al-Kir Mizbechacha. And I pointed out, why are we emphasizing Al-Kir, the wall? Asher Yigi Adomim Mizbechacha. Today we understand that bracha. I said one pshat. Today we have a new pshat. Pesach has to be done by Shvicha. Everybody agrees. What did I say is the Taich Shvicha? That you stand next to the wall and pour the dam. So when we're discussing the Karban Pesach, we say Shiyagiyu Domim, and we have to do it properly. You know how it is, you know how the proper way of doing it is? Al-Kir Mizbechacha. It has to be B'Shvicha, where the Dom is put right on the wall, not when you're standing distant from the wall, which would be Zrika. One Vart. Another question, which the Mepharshim asked, the Rishonim already asked this question. The Gemara is discussing, the Mishnah that we're quoting is discussing, can one bracha work one for the other? But the bracha that you make on a Karan Pesach is Lechel HaPesach. The Mepharshim, we discuss this in Masechta the Pesachim, exactly the wording. But whatever it is, you mention Pesach. When you make the bracha in the Shalmei Chagiga, you say Lechel Zevach. So how could the Gemara have a Havamina that one bracha should work for the other? So we show him the answer. What is the basics? And again, it goes very much with the way we're learning Peshat and the Gemara. That you bring Shalmei Chagiga. Let's look at the Pesach. The Zavachta Pesach Lashem Elokecha, Soin Abakar. And the Gemara explains, the Zavachta is Shalmei Chagiga. Pesach is the Karan Pesach. So since the Pasuk already puts them together, it's obvious that the wording for one will work for the other. But the biggest question that I could raise, and a very fundamental question, which I'm sure everybody's thinking about, is what's the Gemara saying according to Rishmol? You make a bracha on the Karan Pesach, and that will take care of your Karban Shalmei Chagiga. Everybody knows, anybody who ever went to a Seder, You're not allowed to eat after Karban Pesach. So ask the Rishonim, what's the Gemara trying to suggest? I'll make the bracha in the Karban Pesach. And that will also take care of the Karban Chagiga. I'm not allowed to eat after eat the Karban Pesach. So how, what's going on here? Fundamental question. As I said, the Rishonim asked this question. So I saw two different approaches in the Rishonim. One approach was the Orzeruah's approach, Chiddush Nifla. The Orzeruah says, of course, you have to eat the Shalmi Chagiga and the Karban Pesach. But he says, you know what the halacha is? Let's say I ate something. I didn't make a bracha. I can make a bracha after I ate it. That's what he's saying here. The person ate the Shalmi Chagiga, forgot to make a bracha. Now he's eating the Karban Pesach. So normally he can make a bracha on the Shlamim after he ate them. Here the Mishnah is teaching us, at least according to Bishmol, make a bracha on the Karban Pesach and it'll also help for the Shlamim that you ate already. Chiddush. The Arzeru's approach. The other Rishonim aren't so daring. So they explain, it's also very bechiddush. They say that how was it, what happened at the Seder? Not like I thought till today. They say what happened at the Seder wasn't that they first ate the Shalmi Chagiga, and then when you're almost full, you eat the Karban Pesach. That's how I always thought it looked like. No. They said first they ate Karban Pesach. A little. They weren't full yet, because they hadn't eaten yet. It was the beginning of the meal. Then they ate the Shalmi Chagiga. And then when they were almost full, they ate the last kazayis of the Karban Pesach. So it was Pesach, Chagiga, Pesach. I saw Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman in the Sefer Yelz HaShachar has a very big problem with this approach, because he says once you ate a kazayis of the Karban Pesach, you shouldn't be allowed to eat. So he says the way to understand these Rishonim is they ate less than a kazayis of Karban Pesach, then they ate as much Karban Chagiga as they needed to, and then they ate a whole kazayis of Karban Pesach. A variation of what we just said. So now it's very geschmack. Had I ate Karban Chagiga after they ate Karban Pesach? Ask the Gemara, back to Masecht Chagiga, Akati, Lahochud also, is that what this Pasuk of Davos V'Checha, Yishofer, come to teach us? That Matana Akas is enough? Miboylei, don't we need this Pasuk to teach us? L'chetanya, Rav Shmuel Omer. V'tarach Shenema, because the Torah says, Ach B'chosh Shor, O B'chosh Kesev, O B'chosh Eis. L'madnu, this Pasuk clearly teaches us, Lebuchar Shaton Matan Domim Vemrim. That when a Bukhar is brought to the base of Mikdash the carbon, the din of Matan Domim of sprinkling the dam and burning the Emrim is said, Lekabim is Beach. Maisra Pesach, how do we know that the same halachas apply when you bring a carbon from Maisra Behema? Or you bring a carbon Pesach, Minayin Tamaloimer, the dams of Achach Yishafech. So we need this pasuk to teach us that there's Matan Domim and Emrim by carbon Pesach. Some Rishonim say it's only for Matan Domim. Emrim we learn from a different way. But again, the main point is that this pasuk is needed for a different purpose. Answers the Gemara. Savak Rav Yosef Glili. Our Tana will agree with like Rav Yosef Glili. The Tanya Rav Yosef Glili Omer. Domai loy nemar. The Torah doesn't use the Lashon Yochid Domai. Ela Domam, Lashon Rabim. Furthermore, Chelboi loy nemar. The Torah doesn't say Chelboi, Ela Chelbom. That's how we know that Bechor Meser or Pesach, Shetom Matan Dom Ve'emer L'gabim Mizbeach. And therefore, the Dams V'chech Yishofech, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, is left over to teach us the din of Matan Achas. What will Rabbi Shmuel, asks Rashi, do with the Lashon Rabim? To teach us that we know that a Bechor is brought from many different types of animals. And the Pasuk is teaching us from all the various different types of animals that you bring, the din of Bechor applies. Ask the Gemara, but we need to understand Rabbi Shmuel. In this brisa, we're learning Rabbi Shmuel says that the pasuk is coming to teach us that there's matan dam ve'emrim by Pesach u'maaser. A moment ago, we learned that Rabbi Shmuel is the one, and the Rishonim explained, who's arguing with Rabbi Kiva, and he's saying that we use the pasuk to teach us that you could do all kabbonis, what the Torah says, Rika, you could do it shvicha. So what does Rabbi Shmuel say the pasuk dam v'chach yishafek? Either this or that. Rishmol, high claw, can you use the pasuk with dams v'chechi yishafeich, mapik lelahochi, to teach us that you could do shvich instead of zrika, or mapik lelahochi to teach us the dim on Pesach and Meiser? And says the Gemara, try to know, leave the Rishmol. Machloik is tanam according to Rishmol. Asks Rashi, according to the Tana, the Rishmol is teaching us that the dams v'chechi yishafeich is talking about Pesach and Meiser. And not to teach us the halacha, that if instead of doing Zrika, Shvich is fine. That means you have to do zrika and shvichas. With zrika is required, zrika is required. And when shvichas is required, shvichas is required. So how do we understand the Mishnah Pesach to Pesachim, where Rabbi Shmuel says that if you made a bracha on the Pesach, it passes the Shvachim. You don't have that. You don't have this heter anymore. So it's a good question. The Rishonim answer that there's a whole new pshat in Rabbi Shmuel in that Mishnah. The pshat in the Mishnah, and again, it's very much with the way we're learning the Gemara, that since the Pesach is the real crucial mitzvah of that night, and the Shlamim only come to help you fulfill the mitzvah, so it's like an Iker and Tafel situation, and that's where Rabbi Shmuel says, if you make a brach on the Pesach, which is the Iker, which is a fundamental law in Hilchos Brichos Hananim, you pater the Tafel, the Karban Shlamim. Nothing to do with Tzvich and Shrika. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Mukim like Kula B'Bachar, that he explained, according to this last version, that the entire pasuk is speaking about Bechor, hired the ksif, that's what the Torah teaches us, ubisaram yilcha, that the Torah is teaching us that the basar of the carbon of the Bechor goes to the kohen. El Rabbi Yossi, ask the Gemara, El Rabbi Yossi Gluli, the Mukinai, that he said that pasuk is also speaking about Maisa Pesach. Maisa Pesach, that loch is balamachum lay, that the owners eat it. How can we understand what is the Torah teaching us? That the Basarim goes to the Kohen. The Basar doesn't go to the Kohen. The Basar of the Pesach, the Basar of the Maaser goes to the owner. It says the Gemara, the part of the Pasuk of Basarim Yulcha is speaking strictly about Bechor. So what does it say, Lashon Rabbim? To teach us that both a Pesach, both a Bechor that's a Tam, that's brought as a carbon, Vechet Balmum, or a Bechor that's a Balmum that's not brought as a carbon, Limin al Bechor Balmum, that even though it's about mum and it won't be brought on the Mizbeach, Shinitin Lakayim. Shalom Mitzinu Labakala Torah Kula, there is no other pasuk anywhere in the Torah that teaches us this rule. I'm going to come back to this in a moment. Rabbi Shmuel that used this pasuk for something else, where does he learn it from? Nafkalem Leyechad the Sefer, that it's extra to teach us that whether the Bukhar is Balmum or not, it goes to the Kayim. So I saw a fascinating machlokes Rishonim. I would have never believed it. The halacha is, a Bechor who's not a Balmum. What's the din? We just said that it's brought as a carbon. It's very similar to carbon shlamim. And the Kohen gets the meat and he eats it. We could share it with his family, with his wife and children. Now we just finished learning that if the Bechor is a Balmum, it also goes to the Kohen. But it's even less. Even though it does have to be treated, as we'll learn in Shem Masecht Bechoris, with a certain level of Kedusha, it's not brought as a carbon. It's a Balmum. So now the Kohen goes and slaughters this Bechor Balmum. Who could eat from it? So I would assume, and this is the opinion of many Rishonim, that certainly if he could eat from it, his family could eat from it. If they could eat from the Bechor that was brought as a carbon, certainly they could eat from the Bechor that was not even brought as a carbon, right? The Rashba says different. The Rashba says, the din that the family eats from the Bechor is only when the Bechor is brought as a carbon. What the Torah says, that's Kachim Kalim, the whole family eats from it. But a Bechor that's about Mum, where there is no pasuk in the Torah that says that the Kohen could share it with his family, only the Kohanim, the male Kohanim, could eat it, not the family. Very big chiddush in the Rashba. Another nice vart that I saw from the Meremei Sada. He says, the Gemara here uses a very interesting language. The Gemara is using the word in Shalom Etzino LaBechor LaTorah Kula. What does that mean? It means that we don't have any pasuk to teach us that the Bechor Baal Mum goes to the Kohen before I had this pasuk. So ask the Meremei Sada, you know, every time the Torah, every time the Gemara teaches us what a pasuk teaches us, the Gemara should say, Shalom Etzino Loi, that we didn't know it until we learned it. Why does the Gemara use this language here, Shalom Etzino Loi, that we didn't know it until we learned it? Of course, until you learned it, you didn't know it. Why does the Gemara choose to use it here? So he says like this. He says, actually, these psukim that we're learning now about Bechor are in Parashas Korach. He says, that's not the main place where the Torah teaches us the halachos Bechor. It's mentioned earlier in the Torah. It just comes in because of Parashas Korach. So we would think that where should the Torah teach us all the lachas of Bechor? In the main parasha of Bechor, not here. That's what the Gemara says. That even though, Shloim Etzino Loi, even though it wasn't mentioned in the main parasha of Bechor, where it seems to be, it's still mentioned over here. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yosef Aglili, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili that we learned on Amun Aleph, the Mukalei Nami Maisa Pesach, that explains that this pasuk is speaking of Maaser and Pesach also. Hanedik Siv, Loisi Pada, Kikai Dishem, hen kravim, that only animals that were designated at karev, then tamurasim kravim. But tamurav, or Pesach, or Meiser, or Bechor is not nikrav on the Mizbeach. The Tanan, as the Mishnah, and the Masechta Tamura indeed teaches us, tamuras Bechor, Meiser, hen, v'ladon, uvlav ladon, at saif kalad, oilam, harein kebechor, u'maisa, v'yoch m'mumim l'balam. We wait till they become balmum, and the owner of a bechor is the kohen, the owner of the maisa is the owner, goes to the owner. And what about Tamura's Pesach? V'tanan, Amr Bishua, Rabbi Shua said, Shematish Tamura's Pesach kreva, I heard in the yeshiva that at times the Tamura's Pesach is nikrav, the Tamura's Pesach ain't a kreva. Veinli lefarish. So just to review a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Pesachim, I think we might have even learned in Masechta Zvachim. When is Tamura's Pesach kreva, and when is Tamura's Pesach ain't a kreva? The halacha is as follows. If somebody went and made a Tamura of a carbon Pesach before the Zman of a carbon Pesach, meaning before Erev Pesach, Chatzos, which is the Zman that the carbon Pesach should be brought, somebody has an animal designated as a carbon Pesach, and he takes another animal and he says, I raise that Tamura zeh, the halacha is Tamura's Pesach is not kreva. But let's say it's already after Erev Pesach, and we learned many times in our Masechta that a Pesach after Erev Pesach becomes a Shlamim. So it's not really considered a Tamura's Pesach. It's really considered at that point a Tamura's Shlamim. The halacha is a Tamura's Shlamim is kreva. That's Peshat and Rabbi Shua. If it's before the Zman HaKaron Pesach, ain't a kreva. If it's after the Zman HaKaron Pesach, it's kreva because it's in the category of a Tamura's Shlamim, where the halacha is a Tamura's Shlamim is always kreva. I saw a beautiful vart. Veinli shemati shetamur's pesach kreva v'tamur's pesach ena kreva veinli lefarish. We're talking about Rabbi Shua. What pshat? He heard half the shir. He fell asleep in the middle of the shir. So I saw a beautiful vart. Rabbi Shua's mother wanted Rabbi Shua to grow up to be a big Talmud Chacham. So what did she do? From when he was a very small young child, she brought him to the Beis Medrash. She knew he wouldn't be able to understand everything that was said in the Beis Medrash. She's a young child. But she wanted him to absorb the Divrei Torah. Shemati, he says, when I was a young child, I really wasn't able to understand the shir. I understood, I heard in the Beis Medrash that they were saying this halacha, that sometimes the Tumuz Pesach is ain't a kreva, sometimes it's kreva. They only lefarish, but I was very young, I couldn't understand because he started learning at such a young age. Eller Bishmal asked the Gemara, according to Bishmal, the Mukhal, the Kulub Bukhar, that entire pasuk according to him is only speaking about a bechor. Ma'aser Pesach, like kreva tamarasam menalei, where will they he know this halacha? Answers the Gemara. Ma'aser goma ever mebechor. The Torah uses the same word of evra. Kol shiyav tachas shevet. That's the pasuk that the Torah uses by ma'aser. The Torah uses the word v'avarta kopet rechem by bechor. So he learns exactly shava between Meiser and Bechor, Pesach behedik sebe. Pesach, he says, the Torah alludes to it beferish. Because Pesach behedik sebe, Kesef, it would be adequate for the Torah to write the word Kesef. Matam loimer, why does the Torah add the words im Kesef? A marbo is to teach us Tamuras Pesach, acha Pesach, that if it's after the era Pesach, and you have a Tamuras Pesach, shetikrav shlamim. Yocho, I would think, Aflof Ne Pesach Kain, that even before this man of Erev Pesach, if you made a Tamura's Pesach, it should have that din. Tamalamahu. Ask the Gemara. The Kol Hanach Tanoi. Ask the Gemara going back to the beginning of the Shir. All of these Tanoim that we've learned in our Shir today. The Mafgle Lahai Dams V'chech Yishofech. The Drosh Achrina. That they've used the Pasuk Dams V'chech Yishofech for various different Limudim. So going back to the din that we began our Shir with today. Hi, call an itonim al mizbeach achitzin. She not nost matana achas. That she keep her. That one matana is enough. Menaluhu. They can't learn it from the pasuk of dams v'checha yishafeich. Answers the Gemara. Savalik Beis Hillel. They agree with Beis Hillel. The Amri the Beis Hillel holds af chatos nost matana achas keeper. That even by carbon chatos, and we'll soon see from where we know that then one matana is enough. And then the Yapirin. Then we learn Kula Michatos, we learn all other Kabbalahs from Chatos. Says the Gemara, V'chatos, so we go now immediately to the Machloikis regarding the Kula Michatos. The Machloikis of Beisham Beis Hillel, how many matanas are the minimum by Karma Chatas. Beshamai says 2 matanas are the minimum. Beisil says 1 matana. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, my Tamid Beshamai. What's the reasoning for Beshamai? So he answers, the Torah uses the words chronos 3 times, even though it's speaking about different types of Karma Chatas. But as the Rishonim explained, the Torah always uses the words ve'im, with the vav, so it connects all of them. Harekan Shesh, since it's mentioned Malay, so 3 times 2 equals 6. Arba are here to teach us the mitzvah, that you should put on the dam. But we know, as we've learned so many times, Shana Lava Kosov La'akif, in order for a rule to be absolutely mandatory, it has to be repeated. So only 2 corners the Torah repeats. That's how we have Harei Kan Sheish. Arba, the mitzvah, the shtayim la'akif. So Beis Shammai has a great source. What will Beis Hillel, who disputes Beis Shammai, say? Or Beis Hillel, karnos, karnos, karnos. If you look at the way the Torah spells the word, 2 times it's chaser, and 1 time it's mali. So we have 1 plus 1 plus 2, Harei Kan Arba, shalosh la'mitzvah, v'akas la'akif. The teachers 3 are for a mitzvah and 1 is la'akif. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. The Ema, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is kula la'mitzvah. All of them are only la'mitzvah. But you don't have to do it at all. If you didn't do it, it'll be fine. And says the Gemara, that's not a havamina. B'chapar b'chti lo yashkechon. You can't have a carbon without any zrika. So 1, I don't need the pasuk. So 2 interesting points. Interestingly enough, and this is very relevant in halacha, if you look at our chumash, we wouldn't find it this way, that the karnas, twice it's chaser, once it's mali. And that's one of the rayas, that even if you have a sefer Torah that's possible, you could use it, because we see that our Masorah may not be the same that they had the Masorah in the time of Chazal. The Rashba makes this point. Another question. The Gemara says, according to Beis Hillel, I really don't have any pasuk to teach us that you have to do even one zrika. So why do you have to do at least one zrika? Kapar b'chti lo yashkechon. Can't be without any zrika. So if there's such a concept, so Beis Shammai should also have that concept. So according to Beis Shammai, you should have to have 3 zrikas. 2 because the pasuk taught it to us, and 1 more because kapar b'chti lo yashkechon. But that's not true. Even Beis Shammai agrees that you only need 2. Aye, what about the svar kapar b'chti lo yashkechon? Say that we show him already. The Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to the concept of kapar b'chti lo yashkechon. Why? It's a great svara. So I saw a beautiful explanation. Not, again, relevant to Kachin. There's machloikis throughout Shas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of shtar ha'omer ligvos kegavi dami. You didn't actually collect the shtar, but you wanted to collect it. Is it already considered collected? Beis Hillel says shtar ha'omer ligvos lav kegavi dami. According to Beis Shammai, shtar ha'omer ligvos kegavi dami. So that's very gishmak. According to Beis Hillel, if you want to say something was done, you have to do it. Just wanting to do it isn't enough. But according to Beis Shammai, you don't have to actually do it. You just have to want to do it. So if you have to want to do it, you don't have to actually do the zrika. Thinking about it would be enough. And that's why he doesn't subscribe to Kapar B'chti Lo Yashkechon. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, V'bay Seima, Hani Tam D'Beis Hillel, Ahani Mikva Hani Mesoris. We have sort of a challenge here. We learned at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, if you remember. Yeshim L'Mikra, what do we follow? The way it's pronounced, which is pronounced Malay, or do we follow the way it's actually spelled Chaser? Actually, sort of Yad Ramah says, Yeshem L'Masaris B'Loshin Yochid, because there are very few people that really know the Masara. So that's why it says L'Masaris L'Loshin Yochid. So that's why we have a challenge. If we follow the Mikra, it's 6. If we follow the Masara, it's 4. So he does a compromise. Ahani Mikra L'Tfuya Chada, Vahani Masara L'Btsuri Chada. We don't have 6 and we don't have 4, it's 5. And that's why, if we have Kronos 5, 4 will be L'Mitzvah, and 1 will be essential. Ask the Gemara, if this is our new approach to learning, Ela Me'ata, the tefillin that we wear every day. L'Tay Tafas, L'Tay Tafas, L'Tay Tafas, Harei Kan Arba. If we follow the Mikra, if we follow the spelling, so it's 2 times Chaser and 1 times Mali, which would equal 4. If we follow the Kri, it's 6. So why don't we follow our new approach? Ahani Mikva, Ahani Mesoira. And you shouldn't have 4 boxes, you should have Chamesha. Chamesha Bati Boilam Mevet, which is a problem the Rishonim ask. what would you put into the fifth box? So some Rishonim say you would have to put another parasha twice. Other Rishonim say you would take one parasha and divide it. Answers the Gemara. Savla Krav Kiva. He agrees with Rabbi Kiva. Dama Tat Bekasvishtayim. The word Tat in the country Kasva means twice. Pas Be'Afriki. And the word Pas in Afriki is Shtayim. So the word Toitofis means 2 plus 2 equal 4. That's how we know there are 4 Batim. So Rishonim, the Mefarshim explained, very fascinating thing, that we're using the word Toitofis, which is a combination of different words, of different languages, to teach us how the tefillin should look. What does it mean? So I saw 3 different approaches. One approach is the simplest approach, the Taz's approach. Taz says, you know, there's certain words that you have the same word in all different languages, or many languages. Tat is a word, tat is a Hebrew word, he says. But it's a Hebrew word that's not only a word that's used in Hebrew, it's also a word that's used in other languages also. That's one pshat. The Taz is the simplest pshat. The Shlo says a very fascinating pshat. He says the world was created with Lashon Kodesh. We, Klal Yisrael, were worthy that Lashon Kodesh is our tongue, our language. He says that's pshat, what we say every day. Ramanu mikol Lashon. You know why? You know how we're greater? Mikol Lashon, because we have Lashon Kodesh. But the other Umas Olam have to have a kiyum. So how do they have a kiyum? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted in their language Hebrew words. So tat and pasa Hebrew words that were words of Lashon Kodesh that were specifically planted in other languages, otherwise those languages cannot exist. Another pshat is just the opposite. The Kedushas Levi says this pshat. Kedushas Levi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, knew that we're going to be all over the world. And because we're going to be all over the world, so we're going to need to still be connected to the Torah, even though we don't speak Lashon Kodesh. So he put into the Torah words that aren't from Lashon Kodesh. Tat and pas. And these 3 pshatim that I just said are connected to another question. The question is, fine. These words found their way into the Torah. But why specifically by tefillin? From all the mitzvahs in the Torah, Taryag mitzvahs, where did the Torah choose to teach us the halacha that use foreign language? Dafka by mitzvah tefillin. Why? So, Rabbi Sachadoyf tells, I saw, interesting pshat. The pasuk says, he says, Hatzivil chotzioinim. What's the pasuk Hatzivil chotzioinim means? That even when we're in Golus and we're very far from the Torah and we can't fulfill all of the Torah, we still have to still make a mezuzah, we still have to make weird tefillin, because we should still have a connection till Mashiach comes. So tefillin is the mitzvah that's going to hold us, that we're going to have to, and that's why tefillin is such a crucial mitzvah, even in the bitter Golus. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us the mitzvah of tefillin in Lashon Umay Yisraelim, that even when you lie to be in Golus, still wear tefillin. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw is we know that the pasuk says, the Gemara Masechta Brachos discusses this, V'ro'ah kol ha'aretz, kishem Hashem alecha v'yor mimecha. What does the Gemara say? How did the Umas Olam fear us? By wearing tefillin. By us, they see us wearing tefillin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that us wearing tefillin is such a powerful lesson to the Umas Olam. So he gave it in a language that they could appreciate and understand. But one more pshat, very chassidish pshat, is that what does the ritzus of tefillin represent? The ritzus of tefillin represent that all of Klal Yisrael are tied together. It represents the concept of Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, that wherever we are throughout the world, we're all really one, we're all connected. So that's why we use the Lashon Umas Olam, that no matter where we are, the ritzus of the tefillin tie us together.